from the studios of WAER.
And he's standing up into the goal line. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle gets a screen, pull up, he's good. Tyus Battle from 20 feet, and with 2.5 on the clock, Syracuse leads by one.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside. He scores the game winner. Give the assist to Don Madonna. Syracuse wins 11-10.
Comes the Ostrom Avenue podcast.
To Boeheim, quick trigger three from the top. He knocks it down, and we're tied at Spectrum Center.
15 left. He shoots and scores. Tucker Dordovic.
Perhaps the biggest upset in program history comes on Friday the 13th.
And now, your hosts, Brendan Mortensen and Owen Valentine.
Hey everyone, welcome back into the Ostrom Avenue podcast. I'm Brendan Mortensen alongside Owen Valentine and Ben Shulman. Excited to actually only have two games to break down rather than 37, so we get to dive in a little bit more specifics. And today especially, I am proud to announce that I'm starting my Start Quincy Guerrier 2020 campaign, which I think we have some opposition to here in the studio. But let's start with the two games since we've been gone. First, the huge 26-point win against Boston College, and the huge and in a meaning scale win against Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, the 2-point 71-69 win. Syracuse back on track a little bit? On track? I don't know if there was a back to get on, but on the right track, it looks like.
Clock winds under 5 seconds. Sean Belby dribbles it out. And Syracuse has its first ACC home win of the season. Their 500 in conference play, a convincing win, 76-50 over BC.
Syracuse escapes the Coliseum with a victory over Virginia Tech, 71-69 the final score.
Yeah, I think definitely when you go back in time to our last episode when we were looking into that Virginia BC beat or Virginia Tech Notre Dame Pittsburgh Clemson scenario. And we even counted Virginia as a loss because that was, I believe, coming right off of what I was talking in terms of Virginia not being a guaranteed win. But Virginia win, then you've got BC, Virginia Tech. They're doing the job right now, and that's what you need to be able to salvage a really troublesome start to the season. They're starting to find their stride. You can tell that there's a bit more comfort offensively, and the defense is starting to do a little bit more. I think everyone anticipated Boston College would be a pretty simple win, the way BC has played, sitting comfortably at the bottom of the ACC right now. But Virginia Tech has had a really strong season, and Syracuse got lucky the first time these two squared off in terms of Virginia Tech just coming out ice cold in that entire first half. And they weren't the perfect Virginia Tech that we've seen occasionally throughout the season, but they didn't play that poorly, and Syracuse hung around and ended up with a big win.
Yeah, I really feel like that Virginia Tech win validated it for me. BC was kind of, the cards were stacked against the Eagles. Derek Thornton was hurt. They didn't have Popovich. They really had no one to go inside. But Virginia Tech actually had, you know, their full roster there and was a much better team, much better competition. So to see Syracuse play tight with them again and then come out with that win, you know, they're putting themselves at least in position to give themselves a run at the tournament. I'm not saying they can do it, but they're sitting tied for fifth in the ACC right now, which you don't get to say every day.
And two quality road wins at that in the ACC now with Virginia and Virginia Tech. So that's something that I think everyone kind of was waiting for, that moment when you could kind of say, okay, maybe this team has righted the ship or righted the passage. And they, once again, we said it last week, I'm sure we can say it again next week, they control the destiny right now. They've got winnable games ahead, and the way the ACC is playing right now, there are a lot of those winnable games lingering throughout the schedule. I think they can get to 18 wins, maybe a little bit more. That's a discussion for later, but I think that they are still a tournament-caliber team if they do the job and get the wins that they can get down the stretch.
And that Virginia Tech win, like we were saying, that's the much bigger win out of the two.
Yeah,
I mean, Boston College, you kind of just take care of business. But you look at this Virginia Tech game, I mean, Buddy Boeheim carried the team in the first half.
Yeah.
26 points overall. You don't have a fantastic game out of Elijah Hughes, 17 points, but he even comes up big in the stretch. Marek Dolezal just doing Marek Dolezal things, 11 points, 11 rebounds. That's an all-around really good team win. Mm-hmm. And it leads me into What my argument for the day is going to be is that Syracuse should be starting Quincy Guerrier in this Virginia Tech game. I mean, Jim Boeheim raved about how Guerrier played in the first half of this game.
He was unbelievable in the first half, but he's got to stop fouling people. You know, people want him to play more. They don't realize that he'd foul out every game if he played more. He gets three fouls in ten minutes and ends up with four and 24, which is good for him to get 24 minutes. But he needed to drive the last three he took. He needs to drive that, and he just got to learn.
5 points, 9 rebounds overall, 2 assists, and this is from a guy who is out-rebounding Barama Sidibe in, yes, 8 more minutes, but is playing the wing, right? Like, Quincy Guerrier is not down low, and he's still getting more boards than Sidibe. Sidibe plays just 16 minutes, 4 points, 5 rebounds, 4 personal fouls. Guerrier has 4 personal fouls as well. Boeheim said, we heard him say, if Guerrier played consistently, he said people want him to play more. If he played consistently, he fell out every game.
True.
Sidibe does the same thing. So my argument for right now is start Quincy Guerrier 2020. Boeheim said that they are too small inside when Sidibe is not on the floor and he needs Sidibe on the floor. But I would argue I would rather have a smaller lineup that I think plays better than having Sidibe in the lineup.
I don't agree. I am going to preface this by saying that I am pro Guerrier getting the minutes that he's getting right now. I think that these elevated minutes that he's seen in ACC play are deserved, and I like that he is getting these opportunities, and I think he's performed well in these opportunities. I want to see him consistently at this 18 to 25 minute margin and clip that he's been at for the past 5 games or so, and definitely since ACC play kicked off. But once again, to kind of hit on Boeheim's point that you mentioned there, Guerrier is still young. He makes those youthful mistakes, and it reflects in his foul total. You look at the start of ACC play, that full swing kind of game starting with Notre Dame, 18 minutes, 4 fouls, 25 minutes, 4 fouls, 18 minutes, 4 fouls. He goes no fouls against BC in 21 minutes. Nice performance there in terms of the fouls, but Virginia Tech, 24 minutes, 4 fouls. This guy will foul out of every single game, as Boeheim hinted at, if he gets any more minutes. He's got to minimize
but
those mistakes.
So would Sidibe.
I understand, but when you've got two guys getting into foul trouble, you might as well put Sidibe into the true position instead of trying to mix and match, because by putting Guerrier in, you now take Dolezal out of the true position and you put Guerrier into a situation that he's not as comfortable in.
I think from a fouling standpoint, they're both pretty bad.
Exactly.
I mean, I think you can look at both. Sidibe averages 6.5 fouls per 40. And Guerrier 5.8. So neither of them, you know, both of them are statistically would foul out of each game. I'm not really sure which side I'm on right now, but I think I want to see more Guerrier. Maybe not completely overtake Sidibe's job, but give him some more minutes. When you look at Sidibe, a lot of his averages are boosted by some big games he's had against some small teams. Mm-hmm. He has had no offensive input in this win streak or really ACC play in general. He hit double digits against Niagara. He hasn't scored above 5 points since then. Guerrier hasn't been consistent but has shown flashes to score against good teams. He had 10 points against Notre Dame in their first matchup, and then he had 12 points in the loss to Virginia Tech. I like what Guerrier does in terms of spacing the offense.
Yeah.
Boeheim is driving a lot more now than he used to, and we saw that a lot last game on that 18-5 run that he had himself. He was attacking a lot and taking a lot of jumpers around the key and the elbow as well. So I think I want Guerrier in the game more, but I agree that, you know, in the same sense, they both are just foul machines. Neither guy can go out there, I really think, and give you 30 minutes. I would prefer if it was maybe more, you know, Guerrier 23, 24, and Sidibe 16, 17 minutes, but you're not getting too much of a different performance from each guy so far.
Personally, I see the mistakes from both Guerrier and Sidibe, and from my perspective, if you've got somebody on the floor who you know is going to make mistakes, which both of these guys have consistently done, mistakes, whether it be turnovers, fouls, whatever, I would rather have the guy making mistakes be the freshman than the guy making mistakes be a junior. I would rather have the freshman out there, give him room to grow, give him room to make mistakes, And honestly, he's playing better in the conference than Sidibe is right now. If you look at the advanced stats for Guerrier in the conference, he's got a higher total shot percentage. He has a higher defensive rebounding percentage. He has a higher assist percentage. I mean, he's playing better basketball at this point. He has a lower turnover percentage. And in the conference as well, yes, the foul numbers are still bad, but he's still averaging fewer personal fouls in the conference per 40 minutes than Sidibe. So from my perspective, if you're going to have somebody out there who's making mistakes, I would just rather have it be somebody who is going to grow from that mistakes. I think we've seen the best from Sidibe. I think we've seen the best basketball that Bahrama Sidibe is going to play for this Syracuse team. I don't think we've seen it from Guerrier.
That's fine. I can agree with that. I see the point there, and I think that with the minutes split and they're in the trend of basically being 50-50 in terms of they're both playing around one half of basketball per game. Sidibe averaging 23 minutes per game, Guerrier averaging a little under 18 per game. I like that switch. I think them splitting minutes in terms of personnel and situation works a lot better than just saying Guerrier is going to be the starter. Put him out there. Sidibe is done. He's going to play minimal minutes and just kind of get those rest minutes for other guys to pop in and drop Sidibe's minutes down to sub 10. I don't think that's the answer here. I think that having Guerrier and Sidibe continue to split these minutes based on personnel, because there are still guys that are not going to be able to be defended by Syracuse if you're going to make this full switch. You look at a guy like Vernon Carey at Duke. I don't think that when you've got that Guerrier and Dolezal combo down low, they're going to be able to keep him in check. I don't know if Sidibe is going to be the answer there either, but Sidibe's height and length at least provides a little bit better of an option than trying to take some guys out of their true position and play one of the best bigs in the ACC. I think a guy like John Mooney, you kind of saw when Guerrier played a really strong game against Notre Dame. It's because of the personnel. John Mooney is a much more manageable guy for Guerrier to defend and for him and Dolezal to split off. So I think that there are going to be situations where I'm going to be pro Guerrier getting the bulk of the minutes over Sidibe, but there are still those situations where Sidibe is going to have to be the guy. He's going to have to be able to step up. Whether or not he can step up is a different question, because I am definitely not the most pro Sidibe guy in the world, and you guys have heard me talk about that week in and week out, but I do think that Sidibe is the better option in a handful of these games left on the schedule.
I mean, you look at this Notre Dame game tonight, I would start Guerrier 100%. You look at the matchup, John Mooney is 6'9", 242 pounds. I would much rather have Quincy Guerrier, who's 6'7", 220, than I would have Bahrama Sidibe, who's, what, 6'11", 205, 6'10", 205? That just seems like a much better matchup for Guerrier.
The Guerrier being the biggest player on this team just still throws me off in terms of that aspect. I think he is a good matchup. I think he should be the option tonight. I'm not sold on the Quincy Guerrier 2020, give him the minutes, give him the start every game. There are certain circumstances. It's more of like, I guess when you kind of circle back on it, I sit more alongside Ben's point here in terms of I'm not necessarily for or against the option. I think it should vary based on the game. I don't know if it's going to be or if it should get to the point where you've got Guerrier playing 30 and Sidibe playing 10 or vice versa. But I think that these split minutes, because they're both making mistakes, they're both having moments of greatness and moments of what are you doing out there, so that when you've got the split minutes, you can be able to build off of each other, be able to have someone on the bench, give them the teaching moment, and be able to toss them back out there and not make that same mistake again.
I think it's interesting, though, because I'm really not sure if this team is better defensively with Sidibe or Guerrier in the middle. I think it is matchup-based to a certain extent. I can see guys that are just taller than Guerrier.
Yeah.
You're really going to work on him. But then you look at, like, what Jay Huff was able to do.
Yeah.
And you say you want more meat down there. Like, you want a guy who has a little more muscle on him and is able to bully some people around, because I don't think that Sidibe does a very good job of protecting the rim. Like, he gets beat by elite big men a lot of the time. And I think it was interesting that Jim Boeheim said he wanted him in there because of length, because I know Sidibe has a lot of blocks on his stats, but I really wonder how many of those have come against guards and how many of them have come against big men. You know, he's a good help defender coming in on guys. But since ACC play has started, I think he's had one less block than Guerrier has. So he, You know, he had a big, he had like five blocks against North Florida, but he hasn't made a major impact on the defensive end since. And I think that's one of the main reasons that I want to see Guerrier come in, is I just feel like it, not that it's like an absolute rock bottom, but it can't get much worse from mixing it up a little bit. And with Syracuse kind of pressing their zone up a little higher recently, I think they're going to be more one-on-one post-up matchups where people are just throwing it down and letting their big guy bang up against Sidibe or Dolezal or Guerrier or whoever it is down there. So I think that having the extra weight could be helpful. But I could see, looking at the 2-3 zone, that you'd want, obviously, the longest guy in the middle there, which, of course, is Sidibe.
So I'm not on a play Quincy Guerrier for 40 minutes boat here. I don't want to put that perspective out here. I don't even think I'm on a play Quincy for 30, play Sidibe for 10. I just think I would be on a boat of Guerrier 25, Sidibe like 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that range. That is the boat I'm on right now.
And so basically switching in terms of minutes averaging right now.
Right, right. And to Ben's point, Quincy Guerrier has a higher block percentage in the conference, and Guerrier is playing the wing when he's on defense. And the thing that always gets me with just the eye test of watching Sidibe and Guerrier, Jim Boeheim has talked about it a bunch of times. Find me a pump fake anywhere, literally anywhere in any game this season that Sidibe has not jumped on. A single one. I dare anybody. Tweet us at the Ostrom Avenue Podcast on Twitter if you can find a single play of this Syracuse basketball season where Sidibe has been one-on-one with an offensive player and the offensive player pump fakes and Sidibe is not like 30 feet jumping in the air. There's not a single play. And there's also been Jim Boeheim press conferences this year where he's just like, yeah, Sidibe just doesn't jump for rebounds. He just kind of stands there. Like, there is a press conference from a few weeks ago where Jim Boeheim said, yeah, I had to tell one of my assistant coaches to tell Sidibe to jump for a rebound.
It's a little of everything. Moving your feet better, getting position better, playing position better, going in. There was two or three plays Brahma didn't jump. There's the last time I looked, to get a rebound, you had to jump, and he didn't jump. So, I mean, I had his coach yelling at him, jump. When you have to tell a player to jump, you got trouble.
You have to tell your center to jump for a rebound? Are you kidding me? If you can say one thing about Quincy Guerrier, yes, he makes mistakes, but they are aggressive mistakes. I've said this for the last few weeks on the podcast. They are aggressive mistakes. You can't find a guy on the Syracuse team that gives the amount of effort that Quincy Guerrier does. And I would so much rather have that on the floor than a dude who is not jumping for rebounds.
And, you know, this completely benefits your point here, but a very noteworthy story to give. Game one of the season, when Virginia comes to the Dome, where I'm sitting at our WAER table right at midcourt, and the guys sitting in front of us about midway through the second half turned to each other and said, does Sidibe know how to jump? And he doesn't.
He doesn't.
I'll give you that. And I understand, and it's like when you kind of play this argument out, both sides are a lesser of two evils in this situation. There's not a situation that really makes this team thrive, but there are situations that make this team better in certain circumstances. And I think that's what we're both after here, is to play whoever's going to be the best against the opponent. And I think in times that is Sidibe, and in times that's Guerrier. You just got to be able to mix those moments better. I know that we're not going to see a situation where Guerrier breaks the starting lineup unless Sidibe gets hurt. Let's just be frank with that. This is a Jim Boeheim-led team, and we know good and well Jim Boeheim does not like to make starting roster changes, and he's already made one this season when it comes down to Joe Girard, and that might have even been injury-based. When he sets his lineup at the start of the season, he very seldom changes that. So what he does do, though, is he alters the minutes played. I remember when you've got, in years past, a guy like Baikita just immediately would check into a game when the big man is playing poorly. And you've
Dolezal
got those
2 years ago for Matt Moyer.
Dolezal. Yeah. For sure, there have been those situations. He adjusts the minutes. He doesn't necessarily adjust that starting lineup. So I think at the end of the day, we're both going to kind of be happy with the circumstance here. I think that the trend is showing Guerrier's minutes elevating a little bit and Sidibe's minutes stagnating and maybe even dipping a little bit. And I think that's a result of the play. Guerrier has played well in ACC play. My argument here is not that Sidibe is the better player than Guerrier. I think Guerrier is the better player right now and has a significantly higher ceiling than Sidibe does. And I don't think there's anyone that disagrees with me in that point. My point is just that there are some advantages to playing a true center at the true center spot, because then you can allow Dolezal to play his true position. And then if Guerrier gets into the game, you can have him play his true position. You don't have as much mix and match. I think there is something to that comfort in playing where you're used to playing that's going to be able to benefit this team at times. And then there's going to be points where, as we've said, putting Dolezal at the center and Guerrier out on the wing is going to be very advantageous defensively. So it all is going to depend on personnel and opponent and who's on the court and who's playing well. Because when you've got guys like Huff going off against this team, I don't know who is at blame there. It is Sidibe. It is Dolezal. It is Guerrier. But it's just more the barrage of forwards that have been struggling to guard forwards throughout this entire season. And most of it has to do with Syracuse has just basically been thrown through the entire ringer. Every team they've played in the non-conference or the ACC slate seems to be led by a forward or a center. And that's just something that Syracuse, when you look at their personnel, you look at these players, that is their weakness. You came into the season. How are guards going to play? And how are the centers going to play? And the guard situation's been figured out. Gerard, Boeheim, they've played really well. They've played above expectations, in my opinion. The centers, not so much, and the opposing centers have exploited that.
One thing I will say, to go back just to the fouls, because that's a big point of both these guys' criticisms, I think if you look at it kind of in relation, you know, this is Sidibe's third year playing college basketball. He is, if you look at the ACC leaders in fouls and compare it to their minutes played, other than Guerrier, who's like 12th in the conference, he's by far the worst. The guys in second and third only have like four fouls per 40. He has above six. For Guerrier, you know, Guerrier didn't come play. A lot of Canadian people come play high school basketball here for 2 years before college. He didn't do that. He played in Montreal in a French part where the style of basketball is likely a lot different than what he's seeing here. It's more physical. The refs are more lenient. And it's kind of decided by the guys on the court rather than the guys with the whistles. He has definitely had a huge foul problem since the ACC schedule started. Anyone who looks at his stats can see that. But before that, with the exception of a couple games, he kept himself in check. I think that as he gets a little more adjusted to the speed and kind of the touch fouls that get called, he can improve on that. Whereas I'm expecting four fouls from Sidibe every game, like at least four fouls.
Consistently.
And it doesn't matter if he's playing 16 or 26 minutes. He's going to at least foul four times. I think he's had less than four fouls once in the past like 10 games or something.
He's literally averaging 3.8 fouls per game.
Yeah.
The entire season. That's not even just counting conference. And if you're looking, if you're going by the advanced stats and you look at per 100 possessions, for offensive rating, Quincy Guerrier has an offensive rating of 102.5. Sidibe has 102. Back to Guerrier, defensive rating of 93, and Sidibe 88.5. But by pure advanced stats numbers per 100 possessions, those are in conference. Guerrier has just been outplaying Sidibe in the conference. But it's an interesting point as well, because this isn't purely a would you rather play Guerrier or Sidibe argument. It completely changes how this team plays, because as soon as Guerrier is on the floor, then you move Dolezal to the inside. So it completely changes how the defense is run. And it becomes an argument too of, okay, would you rather have Sidibe down low and Dolezal on the wing, or Guerrier on the wing and Dolezal down low? Because I don't think Dolezal down low is a fantastic argument either. I mean, there was the whole thing that Dolezal put on a ton of weight in the offseason, and he gained, what, 5 pounds?
That was 5 pounds, yeah.
He's like 185 soaking wet. Yeah, so he's not a fantastic option down low either.
Mm-hmm.
To be quite frank, I just don't think, I mean, I can get on this Quincy Guerrier should be having more minutes boat all I want to, nobody's stopping John Mooney.
Yeah.
Nobody is stopping Vernon. Nobody's stopping these big centers in the ACC or the centers when you get. I mean, nobody was stopping Luka Garza. Nobody was stopping Yurt Seven. Unfortunately, I think the answer for Syracuse right now is yes, maybe there's one guy who plays better than another, but there just doesn't seem to be one clear solution to stopping anybody down low.
Yeah.
And it's been a big issue the entire year. I think it becomes, I think it's still a clear issue tonight at Notre Dame because John Mooney is incredible. I mean, that dude's averaging 15.5 points and 14 rebounds a game.
I will say, I'll be interested to see how Syracuse goes and attacks a guy like Jordan Nwora from Louisville in a couple of weeks when they face off, because that's kind of the where you'd want Guerrier.
Yeah, that's got a Guerrier matchup all over
it. You're looking for in terms of size and athleticism. So I'm curious to see if I feel like if there is a chance that you might see a switch or see the starting lineup switch. I don't think he switches the starting lineup, but maybe that could be your game where you get those maybe close to 30 minutes out of Guerrier if he can stay out of foul trouble, because that's the matchup you're looking for. So that's something that I think that's February 19th at Louisville. It'd be an interesting matchup to see how Syracuse approaches that defensively. But the one thing that we've kind of glossed over, and maybe that's just me in terms of finding a stat that I want to latch onto in terms of defending Sidibe a little bit more, the one thing that Boeheim has talked about in terms of what Sidibe does provide at the center of the zone is his length.
Right.
And I think that that length has correlated to more steals than a lot of people could have anticipated this season. Sidibe's got 21 steals. He's averaging over one steal per game. And via KenPom, he's got the 235th best steal percentage in the nation. That beats Joe Girard. That beats every guard on this Syracuse basketball team. Sidibe is doing his part in terms of just getting hands in the passing lane. As much as he has been beaten here and there, and maybe even more than here and there, he does get those steals. And I think that is the one advantage that he could provide and has provided throughout this season. Could he still be better? Obviously. But his length and that just sheer height and wingspan provides a couple of extra possessions for Syracuse. And if he can get steals down the stretch in these ACC games, it's going to be the difference, or it could be the difference in Syracuse getting the ball back down the stretch or in a late situation in a game. And maybe that could be the winning possession or something along those lines. That length is going to be of great value for Syracuse, and it's shown itself already. I know the stat is a little bit boosted by, I think it was 5 steals against Georgia Tech, but that was probably his best defensive game of the season. So he's going to be able to show that a little bit more with these minutes, and whether or not that is the difference is going to be probably the deciding factor in who's going to be getting these minutes. And I definitely think it's going to be an interesting question kind of moving forward into next season when you've got Guerrier, Dolezal, and Sidibe back. Well,
presumably.
I don't foresee any of them leaving, but you've got the three of them back. Then how do you handle this situation? Is that when you see your lineup change?
I definitely think if they start to lose some games down the stretch here, looks more like an NIT season, that Guerrier will get more minutes just because down the road, he's much more important to the future of this team,
correct,
I think, than Sidibe. We can all agree that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, by next year or the year after that, he's an established starter on this team. But I think the game tomorrow night is a big test. I'm expecting to see a lot of Guerrier. He played the last, I think, 7 minutes of the Notre Dame game when Cuse had the lead and it went back and forth. And he was good for most of that, with the exception of course, Mooney's rebound and then second offensive rebound that went in to win the game.
Mooney gets the board, put back block, second chance, count it. The big man comes through when it matters, 86-84 Notre Dame.
I think he only allowed one other rebound to Mooney in the 7 minutes that he played near the end there. So he was very good in that game matching up with Mooney. Of course, he doesn't have the size to compete with him completely, but I think for Syracuse, it's about limiting Mooney's scoring. I mean, he's only scored more than 20 twice this year. He is a really good scorer, but he's kind of like Hughes, where he's hitting his average a lot. You know, consistent 14, 16, 17, 13.
One of them was against Syracuse. He dropped 28.
Yeah, 28 against Cuse, 28 against Marshall. So, you know, Syracuse can't really be in that group again. They have to limit his scoring, make some of the three-point shooters beat Cuse like Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because Notre Dame, while they kept up with Syracuse three-point shooting, I think it was Mooney that really put them ahead. If it had just been a shootout, the Orange can outshoot the Irish. They're still a better basketball team than Notre Dame in the way that Boeheim is putting up shots right now. If Syracuse can limit Mooney's scoring to 20 or less, I think they should be fine to pull this game out.
Guerrier with 24 minutes against Virginia Tech. I expect around that minutes count tonight against Notre Dame. 16 for Sidibe. Again, I would expect around those minutes against Notre Dame. That 24-16 split, something we also saw with the two point guards against Virginia Tech. Interestingly enough, Joe Girard with just 24 minutes in that game. Howard Washington with 16. Heard Jim Boeheim say after the game that he really liked how Washington was controlling the offense. Washington is just one of those guys who comes in and just kind of settles things down a little bit. He doesn't do anything too special, doesn't do anything too crazy. So we've argued enough about this Guerrier-Sidibe lineup option. Is there anything to be said for maybe giving Howard Washington some more minutes in this Syracuse offense?
I don't know where I necessarily sit on the Howard Washington more minutes situation. I think that you kind of hit the nail right on the head there. This is a guy that comes into the game and does nothing more than his job. Never anything too incredible, never anything too poor. He just does the job, and that's exactly what you want out of him, and I think that's why, well, you pair that with the fact that Goodine has just not played well this season. I think that's why he's established himself as the number three guy this season. But the way Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girard have played so far this season, you don't necessarily want to take minutes away from them. There are situations where you want Howard Washington in there, give them rest. If they get into foul trouble, if they're not shooting the ball well, by all means, throw him in there. But once again, I think that his minutes are going to be elevated on a situational basis, not necessarily this is going to be a given that he's going to now jump from his 9 or 10 minutes a game to 10 to 15 or 15 to 20. I don't think that's a realistic jump, but I think there are definitely going to be games in this ACC slate, the remaining 10 or so games, where you're going to need to see Howard Washington bump up to that 15-minute range, maybe even a little more. But I think that right now, the way he's been playing, he does the job. He's going to continue to get those kind of 10-ish minutes that you've seen out of him so far this season. And then maybe a little more, maybe a little less. That's all going to be based on the play of Boeheim and Girard. And unfortunately for Washington, it's not necessarily going to be based on the way he plays.
Yeah, I think if Carey or Goodine were factors, we wouldn't be talking about Howard Washington right now. But at the same time, I think he has done a really good job in the last two games coming in.
Yeah.
He's one of the smarter players on the floor, and he just, you know, even though he's kind of barely played due to injuries, he feels like a veteran out there. He knows what's going on. He fits very well in the zone. He had three steals against Boston College in just 13 minutes, which is impressive. And there were a couple times where he turned over the ball, but he's not, you know, some of the issues with the younger guys is they play more emotional. Howard Washington turns over the ball and runs right to his spot and picks it off right back. You know, so I think he's good at calming down the game. He's a good run stopper for me. If the other team, you know, Syracuse gives up a lot of big runs.
Yeah.
If the other team is on a run, I don't think Howard Washington's a bad guy to go in there. He can run the offense well. Girard's looking for a lot of shots for himself, whereas Washington, I feel like, is looking for shots for others. Mm-hmm. So I like him in there for 10 to 15 minutes, but I also agree it's a bit situational. And if the two guards, Boeheim and Girard, are really shooting well, then I don't want them off the court. I want to keep them on to take as many shots as possible. But if we need someone to come in and change the pace, I like what Washington has done in the last couple of games, and I think that he can provide some help going down the stretch.
Yeah. Right, and I don't think this is a case of a Guerrier-Sidibe, which one would you rather have starting?
Correct.
I mean, I don't think there's any debate that Joe Girard should be the starting point guard at this point. But to your guys' point, Washington is averaging more assists per game in the conference than Girard is. I mean, Girard's averaging 30 minutes and 2 assists, and Washington's averaging 12 minutes and 3 assists. He's averaging more steals in the conference as well. So I'm not saying start Washington by any means, but I like him in that 12 to 15 minute range. He just provides something different than Girard. Girard is more of a scoring first point guard. Washington is more of, you know, that kind of steals, defense, and assist kind of point guard. And I think can just be a valuable bench piece, which is something that Jim Boeheim is not used to having on his basketball teams at all. I think Washington is just a really solid bench piece. I don't think he should be getting any more than those 16 minutes than he got against Virginia Tech. I think that should probably be around where he plays. I mean, towards the end of that Virginia Tech game, Washington had that wide open three, and I think everyone just went, "Oh, Howard."
That's the one setback, and I think the point that's kind of been made to the reason where his minutes aren't any higher than the 9 or the 10 minutes that he has been getting is because when you do get down the stretch, you just can't trust him enough offensively.
Right.
And that's not like he's going to turn the ball over, but as you saw in that situation, he's not one that you kind of want to be able to take the three at the end of a game
right.
or down the stretch.
And it's nothing against
game.
Him.
No.
Gerard is just a pure scorer, and that's
and
who you
so
want on the floor.
They're both far better options in that situation. Washington's going to get, I want to say, probably from that under 12 to under 4 range in the second half. I feel like that's where he can thrive, coming in, providing some fresh legs, providing Syracuse a little bit of a spark. You mentioned it. Syracuse is a very streaky team. They have incredible runs offensively, but they get beat on big runs. And he is a really strong option to kind of put in there because he just plays his game. He's never frazzled. He's never too elevated, too deflated. He just plays that same game, game in and game out. Obviously, he had that incredible performance against Georgia Tech where he throws 8 assists and just kind of plays the best game I think I've seen him play for Syracuse. But he's got those moments and that ability to just play that relaxed game and a really strong option for Syracuse. But once again, down the stretch, you want your two guards in there. You want Gerard in there. You want Boeheim in there. Because Howard Washington, although can provide a spark at times, is not what you want in down the stretch. He's not who you want in down the stretch. And that's reflected. That's why he came out towards the end of that game the other night.
A lot of minutes kind of up in the air for Syracuse right now. There's going to be 3 games until we're on next, more than likely. We've got at Notre Dame tonight, home against Pittsburgh on Saturday, then at Clemson on Tuesday. It's another 3 winnable games in the conference. This Clemson team is solid. This Notre Dame team is solid for obvious reasons. Beat Syracuse back on January 4th. And then home against Pittsburgh should be a win. Are we thinking 3-0?
I don't know what I'm thinking in terms of how many games of this stretch Syracuse wins, but let me just set the stage. Say they win all 3. Syracuse back to 14-7 and 7-3 in ACC play. That's a very different perspective than right now or even
right.
what it was last week when we came on for our first Ostrom of the after the break. It's a very different narrative. That's a tournament-style narrative. If Syracuse can win these 3 games, they are back into a tournament conversation. They've played themselves back into that conversation, and I don't think there's much question to it. Because if you can get to that level, if you can get with 10 games left in the season back to a 66% win percentage, be back to 14-7, I think you're very capable of making a tournament, because those last 10 games, yes, you've got Duke, yes, you've got NC State, Florida State, Louisville, your 4 probably toughest ACC games. Maybe you could have said Virginia Tech is a little bit tougher than NC State, but you've got the 3 toughest ACC games. But outside of that, you've got 6 winnable basketball games.
Right.
6 or 7 winnable basketball games, which means, and I've been thinking it for over a week now, and I'm going to say it, Syracuse could, I don't know if they will,
oh,
I'm
saying
not saying
it.
They will, Syracuse could get 20 regular season wins. And that's a bold take and maybe not a realistic take, but when you look at the schedule, you look at the opponents, and you look at the upward trajectory of the way Syracuse is playing, I don't think 20 wins is that absurd.
No.
Yes, I think that there's going to be a bad loss mixed in there, or a loss that's going to mix that up a little bit. It could be Clemson. Clemson's playing really well right now. But they do have the capabilities to get to 20 wins. And after the way this season started, 20 wins would just be an ecstatic Syracuse fan base, an ecstatic Jim Boeheim, I would assume, and an ecstatic team. And you know what this team can do with a little bit of momentum going into a tournament.
Yeah, 20 wins, it's possible. If they lose to Duke, Florida State, Louisville, you get 1 more loss, and then they have to win everything else mm-hmm. to get to 20 wins. I think looking at the next 3 games, 2 out of 3 keeps them in it, but they really need to win all 3.
Yeah.
You lose to Clemson on the road, you can forgive that loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good basketball team.
Yeah.
But that's given, you know, that you think you might have a chance to upset one of these big teams, and it's not going to be Duke. So
no.
you can look at one of the other two, but really it's tough to rely on. I think John Mooney's going to be a good test and
yeah.
a good warm-up for Amir Sims and Clemson, because
yeah.
Amir Sims is just as good and dynamic. He went absolutely crazy in their upset against Duke. He is a legit player. So he could be a guy that Guerrier gets matched up on. It'll be exciting to see that. But if Syracuse gets rolled over by Mooney again in Notre Dame, then yeah. I might be out on this team as quickly as I was back in with this three-game win streak.
Well, you kind of, just to, not to cut you off, Brennan, but when we talked about the schedule last week and the five-game stretch to close out January with BC, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Pitt, and Clemson, I think we were kind of unanimous that 4 out of 5 keeps them alive.
Right.
They've done the first two legs, so now it's 2 out of 3. I'm back in that 2 out of 3 situation, keeps them alive. Obviously, you want 3 because 3 is very right. feasible here. But 2 out of 3 keeps you alive. I think 19 wins, even 18 wins, can put you into a tournament conversation depending on how you play in the ACC tournament. So you put yourself back on the map in terms of tournament potential, and you've got a chance to win 3 games and really put yourself into the driver's seat.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Syracuse wins all 3 of these games. I don't think John Mooney drops 28 tonight. I think we see more of Guerrier, and I think Guerrier matches up against Mooney better.
Yeah,
it's going to be my big go-to for the Start Quincy 2020 campaign. It's going to be this game tonight.
Yeah, this is a teller for you.
Right. Yeah, Guerrier played fantastic against Notre Dame the last time. I think he does well against Notre Dame. Pittsburgh is a good team. I mean, Pittsburgh is 12-6 right now, but I think that's a win at home. And then Clemson. The more I've been looking at this Clemson team, the Tigers are built to beat man defense. They are probably the best team in the nation with moving without the ball. I mean, their off-ball movement is probably what makes Clemson what Clemson is. That was how they were able to beat Duke. They just attack man defense. And if you are lazy in man defense, you are losing that basketball game against Clemson. And Amir Sims is so good because he spaces the floor and he spreads you out. But you know what's really good against teams that can spread you out and are good at off-ball movement? A zone.
Yeah.
So I think this Syracuse team is actually the perfect matchup to beat Clemson on the road, and I think Syracuse goes 3-0 during this stretch. But it starts tonight at Notre Dame, starting at 7 o'clock. We'll get you started here on WAER at 6:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. For Ben Schulman and Owen Valentine, I'm Brendan Mortensen. We'll get you next time.